There were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. Down to verse 13. And suddenly they appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." One of the few television programs that I will sit through and watch is America's Funniest Videos. There are some very funny things on that show. One of them is a Christmas scene. And I could simply imagine the father and the mother and the big brothers and the big sisters getting all excited about Christmas morning, because they had all worked so hard to make sure that they got the perfect gift for little brother. Christmas morning came. Father is there with the video machine. Obviously, because he sent it to the program. And they're waiting. The lights are all on. And he opens his gift. And he looks into it. And he went ballistic. "I hate it. I don't want it." And he started to beat it on the floor. No, I didn't find it funny. I thought that little kid needs to be turned upside down. I wouldn't send that for the world to see how my boy behaved on Christmas morning. I mean, there are other things that I could use. That is not one I would use. But my friends, I wonder this morning, as we think of what I have just read, the gift of God is the gift of his glory. And I wonder how many of us, like that little child, just couldn't care less about such a gift. My wife was going shopping the other morning, and I said to her the last thing as she left, "Don't forget the budget." Sometimes we get so consumed with what is to be done for something else or someone else that we soon forget the gift that God gave. The shepherds were out in the field. It has been my wonderful privilege to be there. Not with them, of course, but where they supposedly were. And it's a beautiful scene, even this very moment as I speak with you. It must have been a quiet night. The stars, no doubt, were shining brightly in the skies, as they can in that place. Perhaps they had been talking about things they had always been discussing. They had no sense that perhaps this night was going to be a night they would never, never forget for the rest of their lives, nor would the world forget it. Suddenly, an angel appeared. Suddenly. That's a wonderful word in Scripture, by the way, both Old and New Testament, suddenly. Because suddenly means, my friends, that God is doing it and no man can prepare for it. Suddenly the angel appeared. And then the text tells us, there appeared with the angel the glory that was around him. I want you to understand what the text says. It doesn't say that glory came out of the angel. It says that the glory of the Lord shone around the angel. There was something unique about that creature that stunned the shepherds as they watched and as they listened to the message that was supposed to come. I want us to meditate this morning for a few moments on what is the glory of Christmas. What is the glory that God gave as a gift? Consider with me, first of all, the sphere of God's glory. In verse 14, we're told, "Glory to God in the highest." In other words, the angel was saying, and the angels were saying, that the glory of God that is actually shining around them comes out of the highest. The highest is a superlative word. It has to do with that region which is the farthest, which is out of the reach of all human beings. No creature can reach from heaven to the farthest regions of the heaven. The highest heaven, as it is called, is the place of God's abode. It is a place, my friends, where no sin exists, where purity in perfection exists. The highest heaven is a place that is commensurate with the nature of God, with the character of God, with the purity of God, with the holiness of God. The highest place is where we are told in Isaiah chapter 6, those seraphim which stood in the presence of God, and there in that presence, two wings covered their eyes, two wings covered their feet, and two wings they used to fly. It is the highest place. It is where God's home is. God's glory could never exist, my friends, in the presence of impurity. God's glory can never exist in the presence of corruption. The only place that God's glory can actually exist is where God is in the highest heavens. It is the place, my friends, that the scripture called the heaven of heavens. All through the scriptures, it is called the highest, or the highest heavens, or the heaven of heavens. Now, if God's glory exists where God is, you and I are separated from that glory. We know absolutely nothing about it. We cannot begin to understand what the glory of God is like, except God himself takes it upon himself to reveal his glory to us. And so we move from the sphere of God's glory to the substance of God's glory. What is God's glory like? Several words in the Hebrew and in the Greek are used to express the word glory. In Exodus chapter 33 and verse 18, Moses is conversing with God as God sees fit to reveal himself to Moses, limited as that revelation was. Moses is conversing with God, and at the conclusion of the conversation, Moses said to God, "Show me your glory." What a request. Show me your glory. Moses was saying to God, in spite of seeing whatever vision God had given to him, for Hebrews chapter 1 says, God in different ways and in different times spoken to the fathers has in these last days spoken in a unique, distinct way, a precise way. Now he speaks through his son. But in that time he spoke in different ways, through a bush. Jacob didn't know that the presence of God was there. Abraham saw some of the glory of God in the thicket of the tree. Moses saw some of that. But Moses is saying, I want to see your glory. Now in verse 19, God says this to Moses. Moses, no one can see my face. No one can see me. The word that is used for glory in Exodus chapter 33 is a Hebrew word, kabod, K-A-B-O-D. It is a word when translated and transliterated into where you and I can appreciate the word. The word means to be heavy, to be weighty. Moses was saying to God, show me who you are. Let me see something coming from who you are so that I will have an appreciation for glory. And God said to Moses, no man can see who I am and live. So that in the 13th chapter of Judges, when Manoah and his wife saw an expression of the wonder of God's revelation, Manoah said to his wife, we're going to die. I love her response. You know, men are such stupid creatures at times. Someone said amen to that. Really, men are stupid creatures at times. His wife said to him, do you think that if God intended to kill us, he would have come with a revelation to us first? God longs to share his glory. But my friends, when God shares his glory, it must be shared upon his terms, not upon yours nor mine. No human being is allowed to reach up, reach down, from down up to where God's glory is. No human being has been given that privilege. If you and I are to see something, understand something, appreciate something of the glory of God, it must be by the initiative of God. This is why we read in Luke chapter 2, suddenly. Because the angels could not bring the glory of God down to the shepherds, nor could the shepherds actually invade the place of the sphere of God's glory. They would die. The glory of God, my friends, is who God is in his uttermost perfection. And whenever that glory is revealed, the Old Testament tells us there is light and thunder and a Shekinah and a shining. The glory of God is expressed in certain human military terms, but the glory of God, my friends, means who God is. Exodus chapter 15, verse 11. God is majestically glorious. There's no expression that can fit the glory of God. He is perfect. He is holy. He's absolute in himself. He needs absolutely nothing to exist. He exists because he has life, and his life is the light of men. The substance of glory is who God is. Do you know, my friends, that the person next to you doesn't know you? Would you be surprised if I say, husbands, that you don't really know your wife? You know a lot of things about her. She knows a lot of things about you. But you don't know her. Because we do not even know ourselves. There are depths to our existence, my friends, that surprises us at times. We don't even know ourselves. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 tells us that the heart is deceitful and desperate and wicked. Who can know it? You and I do not know our fullest capacity, our fullest being. Only God knows that. Neither do we know, my friends, neither do we know the glory of God. What God is really like within himself, in his character, in his being, it is called the glory of God. Show me your glory. Then if we're shut up into time and God exists in eternity, how then does God reveal his glory to us? Wonderful, wonderful Christmas story. And suddenly they appeared with the angel, the glory of God, and then the message. The domain of God's glory is in the eternities, and now he's going to demonstrate it. He's going to show us a little bit of glory. He's going to tell us what he is like, and he's going to do it, my friends, in a unique way. He's going to do it by means of sending into the world a member of the Godhead. We call his name Jesus. First, the glory of God is reflected in the angels. It is reflected in them. They do not have light within themselves. Angels do not really have the perfection of God. They reflect that perfection. And so when the angel came, as I thought of this, it boggled my mind. Listen, the angel came out of eternity into time, and into time they brought the reflection, the magnificence, the outshining of God. They brought that into time, and that's what the shepherds saw, and it made them afraid. It was a reflected glory. You know, when I go to certain places, I have certain responsibilities and certain identifications. And every place I go, I am a member of the ministerial of Markham, of the Evangelical Missionary Church of Canada. That is my identification, to go to different places, to do different things, hospitals and other places. No, that's not unique to me. Every minister has that. That is my identifying mark. The identifying mark, my friends, that the angels had come from glory is that they were reflecting glory. something accompanied their presence that caused the shepherds to wonder, that caused the shepherds to fear. Like Manoah, they thought they were going to die, for they were seeing something of the reflection of God's glory. No man can see that and live. And so God reflected his glory in so many ways in different times. A burning bush at one point was the reflection of his glory. As I mentioned before, his glory is seen in the tabernacle. He met with his people. He says, you will see, I will respond to you in glory. And the glory there was the outshining, the Old Testament word, Shekinah, the outshining of God, but not God himself, the outshining of God. The proof that he was there was his glory was revealed. And on it goes in the Old Testament. But my friends, it was not the reflection that brought the joy. Every place in the Old and New Testament where the reflection of God's glory is seen, it brings fear to the heart. Every place. And so the reflection of God's glory will never do for a hurting world. The reflection of God's glory will never do for a lost world. The reflection of God's glory will never do for hurting men and women, for children around the world who do not have what it takes sometimes to meet some of the bare necessities of life. I'm almost embarrassed saying this. I was giving my son some orange juice the other morning. And he looked at it, and his lips just curled. And I thought, what's wrong here? It wasn't pulp-free. Can you imagine? I looked at him, I said, you need to live in Bosnia. Now, friends, thanks be to God, we have the privileges of having pulp-free orange juice. God has given us all things freely to enjoy. That's what 1 Timothy chapter 6 says. But let us never forget, my friends, that there are those who are suffering because they know only the reflection of glory. If God is going to tell us what he's really like, it won't be by reflection, it will be revelation. Revelation. And this is what he did. From the angels came the word, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. That's the revelation. The word was made flesh and dwell among us, and we beheld his glory. John chapter 1 verse 14. We beheld his glory. Look into the face of the babe in the manger. Look into the face of the one who was baptized in the Jordan. Look into the face of the one who turned the water into wine. Look into the face of the one who raised Lazarus from the dead. Look into the face of the one who spoke with his disciples. And my friends, you see not a reflection of God's glory, you see a revelation of God's glory. Jesus Christ himself came, my friends, not from heaven, the heavens of heaven. Not from the heavens, he came from the heaven of heavens. He came, my friends, out of the bosom of the Father. He looked, as it were, into the face of the eternal Father, Son, Spirit, existing in essence, existing in nature, and in the providence and in the love and in the mercy of God, he sent his Son to reveal the glory of God to us. I say again, my friends, the reflection brings fear. When Manoah saw something of the reflection, he said, I'm going to die. When Peter saw something of the reflection of power of God's glory, he said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Reflection always brings fear. But listen to what revelation brings. Unto you is born this day a Savior. Glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. The Son of God reveals the glory of God. And my friends, where the glory of God is, two things will take place. Where the glory of God is, two things will take place. First, the glory of God brings redemption. Redemption means that Jesus Christ went to the cross And he died in your place and your place and your place and your place and mine. Listen to the words of the inspired Apostle Paul as the Holy Spirit tells him what to write in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. If our gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of the glory of God should be seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, my friends, in revealing the glory of God, brings redemption. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He came into the world not so that you and I might be able to share gifts. And my friends, we love it. We thank God for this wonderful privilege. But if we miss, my friends, the glory that brings redemption, we miss the gift of God altogether. So it brings redemption. Jesus Christ, revealed from the eternity, came into time that he might die to take all those who believe back to glory. So it brings redemption. But I found this moving as I studied this text. The glory of God brings reconciliation. In his high priestly prayer, John chapter 17, verse 22, Jesus Christ is praying to his heavenly Father, and he prays this prayer. And now, Father, I pray that the glory which we had before all time, which I have revealed to your people, I pray that this glory, which now I give to them, in order that they might be one, that the world might believe. Listen, friends. The glory of God brings redemption so that Satan's grip is destroyed forever from the child of God. But for the child of God, the glory of God unites them. The glory of God, that we might be one. Jesus said, I have given them the glory which you have given me, that they might be one, so that God's glory in me as a child of God and God's glory in you as a child of God makes it possible for us to live in love, in unity, in union, in companionship, in comradeship. There should be no barrier between God's people, because the glory of God makes it possible that all barriers be destroyed, all barriers be broken down, so we live in such a tremendous unity that the world looks on. And when the world looks on and they ask, how can you live this way? How can you live so lovingly, so kindly, so forgivingly? How can you live so patiently? You know what you can say? The glory of God has been given to me. And therefore, I can live with my brother. I can live with my sister. I have one of the great privileges. Once a month, I meet with a Baptist minister. And we sit down. And we talk not about Baptist distinctives. Not about missionary church distinctives. Not about what's going on in our church with our people. We sit and we share and we pray about what's going on in our lives as we seek to be faithful to God who has called us. That's glory. That's glory. When two people who are distinct in some of their beliefs, as E. Stanley Jones puts it, so often because we are not celebrating the center that unites us, we spend our time dealing with the things that divide us. And my friends, it's not a philosophy that unites us. It is a person. It is Jesus Christ, the revelation of God's glory. And listen as I read, perhaps in closing, what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, as he talks to you and me as God's people about what happens with glory. Listen to these words. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. But I urge you as aliens and strangers, speaking to those who belong to God's glorious kingdom, abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, those with whom you work, those with whom you live, the nations, so that in the thing in which they slander you as an evildoer, they may, on account of your good deeds, glory. As they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Listen, friends, when Christians live out of the glory that has been given to them by Jesus Christ, God is glorified. The world looks on and they long to know Christmas as we do, because the glory that has been revealed is the glory that is residing in us. May God make this Christmas a Christmas of glory, where we celebrate this gift of God, His glory, and where we live this glory of God, so that the world might believe that Jesus Christ really came into the world and He's alive and living today.